This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's going on? Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, per usual, is produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And what a program we have coming at you right now here on VSiN. It is week one in the National Football League, the Super Bowl rematch between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. Seattle is favored by 3.5 points. I believe the total is 43.5 or 44. We'll break down NFL news and storylines here at the tippy top of the program. Take a look at the injury report. Well, at least for tonight's game, because that's a final injury report. We'll also, of course, on a game day, we dive deep into the data. You may have to excuse me a little bit. I'm going to probably be looking at my computer a little bit more than usual. The new Fantasy Points Data Suite 2.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Information overload, but I'm going to refer to some data points and some strengths and weaknesses for all the players based on the data with the matchups as we go along. I'll probably end up starting that segment here in segment number one. We'll probably take a look at the quarterbacks and the pertinent data points here in the first segment. Then we'll come back for segment two at 15 past the hour. We'll talk all the other data points for the passing game, most importantly, and also the running backs. Our guy Brett Whitefield is set to join us every Wednesday starting next week. He had a prior commitment. He actually scheduled a podcast like 2.5 months ago with someone. He is a man of his word, so I guess he forgot about this little spot, so he's currently recording a podcast. So our guy Ryan Heath, though, do not fear, the fastest rising star in the fantasy and betting industry in the country, in the world. He will join us for some week one NFL player props. We'll promote his Twitter, which you really should be following if you're into getting stuff right in terms of understanding the data and more. Then at the end of the program, it is game day. I will pop out my official plays for tonight's game, as well as a Wednesday night special. In terms of the plays, real quick, as I've been stating, I went a little overboard. It was, I think it was just under 500 picks that I made here on this show, or well over 400. That's a bit much. So I am going to probably make about the same number of recommendations, if you will. But, you know, I'm trying to preserve my record to get it up to like 60% would be nice. I know that's not easy to do, but that's my goal. So we're going to pop out 6 recommendations. 3 are going to be official picks, but the first 3, we're just going to call them leans. So the first 3 would be my top 3. The next 3, the leans, would be my bottom 3, to make 6 picks total. So hopefully that makes some sense here. We do have information on the leans as well. And I think we should keep track of the leans just in case. My biggest fear, by the way, is that the leans outproduce the picks. Because obviously if I'm leaning one way, then I'm, you know, certainly inclined to play it. So that's the concern. So we'll see how that works out. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever the heck you get your pods. All right, NFL news, storylines, some quick headlines here. Baker Mayfield and the Bucs did, in fact, agree to a contract extension. I saw Baker at the podium yesterday, $165 million. My man was smiling ear to ear. So, A, he's happy, but B, he won't be pissed. And I kind of like angry Baker. So it's probably a wash. On one hand, no more distraction. On the other hand, maybe he loses a little bit of the edge that Baker Mayfield has from time to time in his career. Aaron Donald not going to make the trip. He will not travel to Australia. Let's take a look real quick while I'm talking about the games tomorrow and today. Let's take a look at tonight's injury report. As we know, Trevion Henderson has been ruled out for Seattle. Nick Emenwori. I mean, come on. I watch Hard Knocks. Dude was walking around on crutches like 2 weeks ago. They list him as limited, but I'm pretty sure he has not run through a full practice. So I would be a little bit more leaning toward doubtful on that, and that could certainly help the New England Patriots. They're also Ty Okada. They are down a starting free safety. And don't forget their number one or their number two pick. Boy, whose name is escaping me right now. The number two pick is on IR, and he is also Bud Clark. He is also a safety. So they are a little depleted out there on the back end. And for the Patriots, it'll be Corey Kiner or Lan Larrison. Sounds like a soap opera star, Lan Larrison. But Corey Kiner just joined the team like 2 weeks ago. He was traded. The Cardinals traded him on over there. Patrick Mahomes set to start Monday night's game against the Broncos. I like Andy Reid being a little coy here. He's like, I think he's, you know, no, it looks like he's set to go with the ACL. Looks like Emeka Buka is set to go. Tampa Bay Times' Rick Stroud reporting that he, quote, appears to be fine, unquote. Rick Stroud has been around the block, so he's a very, very good reporter. You can pretty much take him at his word. The Jets have listed Mason Taylor as the team starting tight end. I do not care. I'm interested to see how it all plays out, but Frank Reich loves throwing to three, four tight ends, maybe even five. They've got guys like Jelani Woods, Jeremy Ruckert, and of course, Kenyon Sadiq. So that would be a quagmire, in my opinion, at the tight end position. The Broncos list J.K. Dobbins as the RB1 on their depth chart. Shocking no one, but if I drafted Dobbins, like if I'm Michael Cohen, who has a draft tonight, and I end up drafting J.K. Dobbins, I really would want to get Jonah Coleman. I don't know if I saw, I know I didn't see a rookie, and Mike Washington was really close, looked better than Jonah Coleman this summer. Not a lot of carries, but and preseason, sure. But sometimes at running back, I like to see these guys, even if it's in the preseason, just let me see you do it against professionals for the most part. And Jonah Coleman looked tremendous this summer. The Broncos also list Marvin Mims as a starting receiver. So that means almost nothing. I guess, I don't know, is he going to play over Pat Bryant in 11 personnel? I doubt it. Sean Payton loves to spread that ball around. That's one of the reasons why, by the way, I have not really been in on Jalen Waddle. And then finally, Sports Illustrated's John Shipley believes neither Bashal Tutin nor Chris Rodriguez will emerge as the lead back. So that is a committee, that is a backfield where sharing is caring. And that's been my contention all year. So that's why I've been in on Rodriguez, who goes off the board like six, seven rounds after Bashal Tutin. I felt like Bashal Tutin, he could come through. He's talented enough. But, you know, fifth, sixth round pick, I was not feeling that. All right. Well, we do have a few minutes to work with here. So rather than, you know, rushing through everything, let's take a look at the data points relating to tonight's game with the quarterbacks. Let's go to Drake May. The passing yard numbers, 232.5. I would be inclined to go over on that. It's not a lean for me. Seattle did allow, though, the 12th fewest passing yards per game, ninth fewest passing touchdowns per game to quarterbacks. But I'm looking at the data, and I think the data looks a little more positive than negative for a Drake May. He's going to probably have some trouble when they're in cover two and cover three, which looks like about 50% of the time. So it's not going to be a great showing here, but he looks to have an advantage in cover one, cover four, when they're in man coverage and when they're in too high and when he's under pressure. So the data looks relatively good for Drake May, who of course needed some garbage time to put up digits in the Super Bowl. And next up, it is, of course, Sam Darnold. 228.5. That's a tough call. I'm not sure I'm feeling warm and fuzzy about it. By the way, I did skip over one injury that is worth noting. Torrey Horton, the wide receiver, has been banged up here with a hamstring for a couple of weeks here. It's been a really, really quiet season or offseason, preseason for Torrey Horton, but he did play well for them early in the season last year and in the preseason. So, yeah, spoiler alert, you know, these teams are kind of mirror images of one another. You know, they're a little bit more defense. The Patriots a little bit more about the pass. The Seahawks a little bit more about the run, but they do have similarities in that they have one stud wide receiver and then a bunch of kind of like ancillary guys that you can't really feel really great about. But back to Darnold, 228.5 is a number at minus 111. I do struggle. I took the over on Darnold in the Super Bowl, and I did not emerge victorious on that one. New England allowed the ninth fewest passing yards per game, 14th most passing touchdowns per game. They did play man coverage at a 35% clip in the Super Bowl, did the Patriots. Darnold's pretty good against that. Of course, he has Jaxon Smith-Njigba, so he's going to be good against everything. 7.93 YPA, not too shabby. But again, 19 of 38 in that Super Bowl for 202/1, adding only 2 for 5 rushing. So we're not going to be in on anything related to the quarterback, spoiler alert. And when we return, we will, in fact, get into all the data points for the all important passing game guys, the receivers. But first, if you think you're better than the experts, now is your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe contest puts you in the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Ball Invitational, the one the pros plays. Top average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season. Edge Boost offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finished first for the week. And if you don't have an Edge Boost account yet, you can sign up at edgeboost.io with the promo code VSIN. Make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today at VSIN.com/Joe. That is VSIN.com/Joe. Coming up in two segments, in about 20 minutes, our guy Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data has got some week one props. I've got my official props, but more data points coming at you next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of Prop Points Game Day. Finally, the NFL has figured out how to make Wednesdays palatable. It's by placing a football game on the schedule. Although it is a little weird, I don't know what day it is of the week. It is Wednesday, but sometimes I keep thinking, oh, it's Thursday. No, it's not. It's Wednesday, but we're ready to rock and roll with more data points here relating to tonight's football game. Receiving props, the all-important receiving props. We start, of course, with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. 82.5 is a number, minus 112. Patriots deployed man coverage at a 35% clip in the Super Bowl, and he crushes that, 3.79. Well, everything. He crushes everything. Every data point he has is good. Unfortunately, though, for those who went in on him in the Super Bowl, he only got 4 for 27. Yes, in part, they didn't need him, but also that was Christian Watson. So I would imagine he'll see a good amount of Christian Watson in this game. New England gave up the 15th fewest receiving yards and the 15th fewest receptions per game to outside receivers. So it's kind of a middling matchup. But over at Fantasy Points, the data suite 2.0, it's unbelievable. Again, I can just click on his player page, click on his matchup for this week, and all the data is pulled in, and we see advantages and disadvantages. So it's basically it's two sides of it. It's like where Smith-Njigba wins, where New England wins. Well, the where New England wins column, empty, not a thing in it. So and Smith-Njigba, see, this is why I was considering an under on his like catch total. It's like 6.5. Yeah, -106. But the data is just too compelling. Cover 4, he gets a 3.77 bump to his EPA percent. Base defense looks good. Cover 1, that's kind of a strength on strength situation in terms of Gonzalez. But generally, he crushes cover 1. He crushes man. He's great against the blitz. I mean, the guy's just awesome. So we're going to take a laissez-faire approach on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We're going to actually just watch him play tonight, at least I am, and enjoy the football beauty of it all and not worry about props because It's a tough call. So there it is on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. As I mentioned, these teams are similar in that they're a little overloaded with a big-time number one receiver and like a bunch of ancillary-type weapons. A.J. Brown, pretty good number, 62.5 at minus 114, 5.5 grabs. That's plus money if you go over, plus 106. I hate to kind of cop out, but there's nothing really compelling about these matchups. I like to line up a bunch of positives, and it's not easy to do in this game here. But we do have some. Seattle gave up, of course, the fewest yards per target and the fewest yards per route run to outside wide receivers last year. That's first and foremost. However, they did give up the sixth most receptions to outside left wide receivers in 2025. So that's not bad. Reek Woolen is gone. Josh Jobe, nothing special. I mean, they personnel wise, I think they can be beatable on the back end, especially if Iman Wari does not play. They ran cover six in the Super Bowl about half the time. And I looked into it. We even have coaching data. Josh McDaniels does not do well with cover six. So I think that's one of the reasons why Drake May had such a brutal game in the Super Bowl. So that's a negative. But Brown himself, of course, on another team, did very well against that shell, 2.0 yards per route run. But again, smaller sample, only 35 routes. And more on Brown later on in the show. A spoiler alert. Next up, it's new hire Romeo Doubs. Seattle, again, gave up the third fewest receptions to outside wide receivers on the right side, which is where Doubs will be, I believe. We don't know for sure. I mean, he's going to line up anywhere. A lot of these guys will do that. They'll go inside and all that. But based on the alignment numbers, he should see a lot of Devin Witherspoon, and that is a problem, and that is why one of the reasons why they gave up the third fewest receptions to outside right receivers. They also did that cover six shell 50% of the time, 49.1% of the time in the Super Bowl, and Doubs's data is not great at 1.22. One thing I did kick around was under 3.5 receptions. That's plus money for Doubs at plus 115. But, you know, I do think that Drake May is going to sling it a little bit here, just like he did in the Super Bowl. They're a little bit more pass heavy. Next is Hunter Henry at 34.5 minus 110. We're already in on this, so maybe we can skip this a little bit, but the reason I'm in is two reasons. Seattle allowed the sixth most receiving yards per game at 63.5 and the fourth most receptions per game to the tight end last year. And, you know, they were generally easier to attack inside, like from the slot, for example. They also are very zone heavy, 76% last year. Henry averages a really rock solid 1.90 yards per route run against zone in 2025. Now, of course, the cover six shell was problematic for Henry. That's probably why he didn't hit his prop in the Super Bowl. He only averages 1.06 yards per route run. So as you can see, it's just a mixed bag for everyone. There's a couple players that we'll get to that, you know, have decidedly clear advantage here, but it's a lot of this is good, but this is bad. This is good, but this is bad. Rashid Shaheed next up here. Now, the expectation is he's going to start in two receiver sets, and he's going to be asked to take some pressure off their running game by, you know, running downfield routes, making plays. It's a tough call. I'm just going to wait and see on Rashid Shaheed. The Patriots deployed man coverage at a 35% clip in that Super Bowl. He has not done that well against man. He's been more of a zone buster. I did take the over in the Super Bowl, and he did hit, but barely. He got 2 for 27, and he got a 5-yard carry. And when I looked at where does Shaheed win in this matchup versus where New England wins, Shaheed, nowhere. There's no decided advantage, whereas New England has a disadvantage against like cover three, zone, single high. These are all things that aren't really great for Rashid Shaheed. Cooper Kupp, it's kind of similar, 28.5 minus 114, 2.5 grabs. I would have gone over on that, but it's minus 130. So, you know, its odds aren't that great. Where he wins in this matchup would be cover three, which they run about 27% of the time. But he also has tough matchups schematically against the cover four, against two high, against cover one. So not feeling warm and fuzzy about Mr. Cooper Kupp. Next up, AJ Barner, 24.5 at minus 115. That's not bad. I did like him in the Super Bowl. He had four grabs for 54 and a touchdown. New England did give up the 11th most receptions per game to tight ends last year. More on Barner at the end of the program. Ramondre Stevenson, 24.5, it's kind of a big number at minus 113, but the catch total is at 3.5. So I think the books are expecting him to catch some passes. Seattle did give up the sixth most receiving yards per game to running backs last year. More on that later on in the program. Demario Prop Douglas, 19.5 at minus 115. Seattle gave up the 13th fewest receptions and the fewest yards per game to outside receivers at 76.4. However, they did give up the 12th most receptions to the slot, where Douglas will be lining up. More on Prop Douglas at the end of the program. Now, George Halani, I know the Grinder, I believe, is in on this over. I could absolutely see it because he's probably going to get a lot of their pass catching snaps and all that. They probably don't trust Jadarian Price, the rookie. Halani's at 11.5 at minus 114. That's not bad, but one of the things I'm trying to do is avoid these really low-end players. And then the rushing prop, we're going to talk Ramondre because we're already in on the over 57.5. Jadarian Price, 54.5. It's a middling matchup. They did give up, though, the fifth fewest rushing yards per game. I'm not going to mess with Halani. And then Drake May, he did need garbage time to run for 5 for 37. I think it's fair to just take a laissez-faire approach on that one as well. I'm not going to be in on the rushing prop. There's the data points. Ryan Heath will join us on the other side, but first with some week one props. But first, the wait is finally over. College football is back. The NFL season kicks off today. Now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You'll also get the college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video with the VSiN Watch app. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com, subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ryan Heath, lead data writer over at Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data, next year in this Wednesday edition of Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. A Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN Game Day, and we go directly to the progressive guest line. Ryan Heath, lead data writer over at fantasypoints.com. If you don't follow him on X, you're going to get your ass kicked. So do it at @RyanJ_Heath, and he has emerged from the data mining room, and he's ready to rock and roll. What's up, Ryan? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling great. So excited for opening night here with the NFL. Yeah, I've been in the data mining cave all day, all week, really. But yeah, excited to share some of what I've been digging up.
Well, I'm still trying to process Fantasy Points Data 2.0, by the way. Like, it is unbelievable. I try and think back to when I started in the mid-90s and think, what was my mindset then and what am I looking at right now? It's just like, oh my God. It's like literally, it feels like it's 1,000 years into the future. But that's neither here nor there. You do have some propage for week number one, starting with one tonight. And I'm glad that we're on the same page, although I am a little envious because you got in at 33.5 on, looks like, FanDuel at minus 113 on Mr. Hunter Henry. I am 1 yard over. So if he goes for 34 yards, I will be livid. But what do you see with Hunter Henry tonight?
Yeah, so kind of my overall thoughts on this game are everything the Seahawks managed to do in the Super Bowl last year was fairly successful in shutting down the Patriots offense, right? They ran a ton of cover six. There was really just no answer for it. So I'm coming from the perspective of I think the Patriots are going to be trailing for a good amount of this game. And when we look last year, when the Patriots were trailing by a touchdown or more, Hunter Henry had a team high 25% target share. And on top of that, we saw the Seahawks go into zone coverage 83% of the time in the Super Bowl. And against zone, Henry was about 70% more efficient by yards per route run last season. So I think both of those set up well for Henry in general. Also, kind of the more on paper notes are, of course, the Seahawks allowed the second highest receiving yardage market share to opposing tight ends through all of last season. Safety Ty Okada is out. Nick Amendwori is questionable. This could just be like a nice matchup for Henry to kind of vacuum up some PPR scam targets in the second half. I think he can get over 33.5 receiving yards fairly easily with this setup.
You've got a couple of other guys that, like, maybe you're not going to be like all in on them this year, but getting while the getting's good. For example, Packers at Vikings, you like Jordan Addison over 3.5 receptions on FanDuel at +102. Let's hit that one. You also like Jaden Reed in the same game here, but what are you seeing with Addison? I mean, that Packer D is pretty depleted. I don't really worry about their outside corners. And I know that Jordan Addison spent a little bit more time working with Kyler Murray. The chemistry pretty good. What do you see with Addison?
Yeah, so from kind of like a higher level at this game, like a 10,000 foot view, I do expect there to be maybe some more passing, some more scoring than the market does for a couple of reasons. One, the Packers have been really successful whenever they have passed. They've been a top three team by EPA per drop back, but they just haven't done it much because they love feeding the ball to Josh Jacobs. They can't do that during this game. So I do think that we could get a little bit more of a shootout environment. Adding that to the fact that Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings as their play caller has always been a pass happy head coach and play caller. We didn't see it as much last year. I don't think it's as priced in just because of how awful JJ McCarthy was in that entire Vikings passing attack. But I think we could kind of wake up to the Vikings in week one here and possibly regain some efficiency in this passing attack. And I think Jordan Addison is the way to try to prop bet it. And that's because of the schematic matchup. The Packers added Jonathan Gannon as their new defensive coordinator, going to be calling plays on that side of the ball. He, of course, was formerly head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, was with the Eagles before that. And in three out of his last four seasons, his defenses have ranked top two in cover four usage. This is clearly like a Jonathan Gannon signature type of shell. And looking over their last 10 games, Jordan Addison actually has a higher target per route run rate than Justin Jefferson against cover four. Even if you bring that all the way back to over the past two seasons, Addison sees a 32% increase to his targets per route run versus cover four. So yeah, I just, for all of those reasons, I think Addison over 3.5 receptions at plus money is a pretty nice, pretty easy prop bet to make.
Jordan Love only made one start against Minnesota. It didn't go well. I think he threw for like 149 yards or something like that. But you do like Jaden Reed over 39.5 on DK -112. Do not say anything negative about our guy Christian Watson, first and foremost. But I do understand that Minnesota, they're breaking in a new nickel corner. What do you see with Jaden Reed?
Yeah, of course, this is absolutely not a negative on Christian Watson, right? One of my favorite players in the NFL, one of the players I've been the biggest on in fantasy this year, of course, alongside you. For this matchup, I like what I'm seeing with Jaden Reed, because as always with the Vikings, with these Brian Flores defenses, they're going to blitz a ton. They led the NFL in blitz rate last year. and they're going to play a ton of two high looks. And both of those schematic notes have been very positive for Jaden Reed. Over his last 10 games, 3.44 yards per out run against the blitz. That ranks sixth best among all wide receivers. And he leads the team in targets per out run against two high looks over the same span. I am fairly high on the Packers passing game this year. As I just mentioned, I think they're going to need to drop back more, and I think very likely they will like the results they have. There should be less of an annoying wide receiver rotation now with Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks off the team. Reed should just always be the third receiver in 11 personnel from the slot. I think he can set a career high in routes. And he's always been an efficient player, so all those things together just make me want to bet on him in this spot in week one.
Yeah, I mean, if Christian Watson has an underwhelming season, I do believe, I know Matthew Golden's in the mix, but I would have to believe that Jaden Reed balls the you-know-what out. Moving on here with our guy Ryan Heath, follow him on the X machine at RyanJ_Heath. I'm a big Jalen McMillan guy, always have been. I had a chance to interview him at his combine. Love the guy. 34.5 receiving yards on FanDuel at -114. Does this have anything to do with Mr. DJ Turner? Maybe a shadow coverage with Ibuka? What do you see with McMillan?
Yeah, it absolutely does have to do with DJ Turner. We are projecting a shadow for Turner on Ibuka for week one. I could list off a ton of impressive DJ Turner stats, but for a couple examples, only Zay Flowers exceeded 12 fantasy points across from Turner in any game. No wide receiver exceeded 45 receiving yards while facing his primary coverage. He has just been locked down, or at least he was all of last season. So I would expect him to be on Ibuka a lot. And also because of this, of how good DJ Turner is in this one-on-one coverage, the Bengals started playing a lot more man in general over their last 10 games. And McMillan easily leads all Buccaneers pass catchers with 3.6 yards per out run against man coverage over the same span. So I think there could be a situation here where Ibuka is blanketed by Turner. Chris Godwin is much more of the zone beater, kind of close to the line of scrimmage screen type of player at this point in his career. And it could just be McMillan that is feasting on the other side here in week one as really the best man beater on this offense.
Yeah, like that call. Also love Michael Pittman this year. And you're in on over 4.5 receptions on DK. That's plus money at +122. A little worried about that hamstring, but maybe they just kind of put him on ice. I have felt very strongly that he's going to be their high volume receiver in the short to intermediate area, which is where Aaron Rodgers obviously makes a living these days. What are you seeing with Pittman?
Yeah, that's exactly how I kind of approach this, is just thinking about the average depth of target that Aaron Rodgers has displayed against all of these shells that the Falcons seem to specialize in. Over the last 10 games, they led the NFL in cover four usage. Pittman's about 24% higher target per out run against that shell. Aaron Rodgers, a 6.3 average depth of target against that shell. Same if you look over to cover three, it's just very clear. Rodgers has like a 4.2 average depth of target against cover three, which the Falcons also run a good bit of. Pittman just seems very clearly in position to kind of take away this short area work from DK Metcalf. When you look over their careers, he's been a much better target earner in that area of the field. So I really like him this week here.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be keeping an eye on Pat Freiermuth to see if he took advantage of all the time missed. But that's great stuff from Ryan Heath. Give him a follow on the X Machine. Great stuff, Ryan. Good luck with the plays. My official picks on the other side this Wednesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Final segment of this game day Wednesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We've already busted out a ton of useful data points. Not the easiest matchup to wrap your head around. Super Bowl rematch. Obviously, both teams have strengths on both sides of the ball. As I mentioned earlier, New England a little bit more pass heavy. Seattle a little bit more run heavy. But we'll see how the rookie Jadarian Price works out in game one. I was very high on Price. Not today. Going to take a wait-and-see approach with it, but feeling pretty good about him. But this is not an easy game to wrap your head around, for sure. So what we're doing this year is, instead of putting out six, seven, eight props, I mean, I had a couple weeks where one game I'm doing like eight props. not advisable. So in lieu of that, we're going to pop out some recommendations, and we're going to call them leans. I think we should keep track of the leans. As I mentioned earlier in the program, my biggest fear with the leans is that the leans have a better record than the official picks, because they're all, you know, plays that I like. Just the official picks I like a little bit more than the leans. So we'll start out with lean numero uno. And this is a little bit of a weird one. AJ Brown over 27.5 receiving yards in the first half. Now that is, this is less than half of his total game prop, basically. So I kind of like that. It's minus 113 on DK. As we mentioned earlier, the Seattle Seahawks were tough on the outside. They're tough everywhere, but mostly on the outside. However, they gave up the sixth most receptions to outside left receivers in 2025. Of course, Reek Woolen is now gone, but Josh Jobe, nothing special. They ran that cover six 49% of the time in the Super Bowl, and he averaged 2.20 yards per route run, which is an excellent number. But look, it's AJ Brown making his Patriots debut in a big nationally televised game, Super Bowl rematch. Brown claims to have been a Patriots fan. He's in a good place. So what are they going to do? They're going to come out, and an edict will be handed down to throw him the ball early in the game. Get him going early. He is a diva receiver. You don't get him the ball early in the game, he kind of, you know, maybe loses some focus. I don't know how much of that was him semi-quitting in Philadelphia last year, but I'm sure he'll be dialed in tonight, laser-focused with a pretty beatable matchup. And for what it's worth, I actually went back and I looked. The last time Josh McDaniels broke in a new stud number one receiver was way back in 2017, a guy named Randy Moss. He caught all nine of his targets for over 180 yards and a touchdown. Next up, Ramondre Stevenson, over 24.5 receiving yards. When I look at the data here for Ramondre, there's a decided advantage when they're in man. A decided advantage for Ramondre's receiving when they're in man. Now, they don't play man a ton, 20%, but hey, that helps. And Seattle did give up the sixth most receiving yards per game, 36.7 to running backs last year in the regular season. Ramondre was outstanding in the passing game last year. I just saw a very interesting data point that I'm not going to recite here, but he was kind of in the neighborhood of Christian McCaffrey in terms of efficiency, not the volume, of course. He was really, really good. So over 24.5 is a pretty good lean. And then last but not least, AJ Barner. I do like this. New England did give up the 11th most receiving yards per game at 57.1, 11th most receptions per game to tight ends. Barner, I did like him in the Super Bowl last time out, and he did hit this prop. Four grabs for 54 with a touchdown. The Patriots ran man coverage 35% of the time in that Super Bowl, and it's not great, but it's not terrible. When I look at our data in terms of like where Barner wins, in terms of where New England wins against Barner, he's got the edge here. Base defense up against the blitz, a little bit of cover one. A lot of it is pressure-based, so he could be like a safety valve guy for Sam Darnold, and a little bit of an edge in the man coverage and in cover four. The reason it's not an official pick is because I do want to take a look at where we are with Elijah Arroyo, who's really, really good out of the U. I watched him practice for a week in Mobile. A guy can run. So I'm very intrigued by Elijah Arroyo now that he's got a year under his belt. But that would be, I mean, that would be my – my final one in terms of the leans. So that would be like my least favorite play of the entire day. But now it is time to reveal my top props.
You've heard the analytics. You've heard the stats. Now it's time for what you've really been waiting for. The Guru's top props.
Oh, fancy, fancy graphics. Gotta love it. Gotta love technology. You gotta love sports, quite frankly. And well, we've been in on Ramondre Stevenson over 57.5. Honestly, I thought it would go up a little higher. I am a little surprised. The reason I got in early is because, well, I was looking at it last week when it was 42.5, because I had a feeling that Trevion wasn't going to go. It's right there at 57.5 right now on DraftKings. Certainly a tough matchup. I do not have delusions that it's an easy matchup. Seattle was top seven in every meaningful metric last year against the run, literally everything. Now, the spread, it's in Seattle. It's only 3.5 points last time I checked. I think it's been pretty locked in there. I think that reveals that the books think it'll be a relatively close game. They are breaking in a new offensive coordinator, tweaking the offense a little bit. They are breaking in a new running back, a rookie in Jadarian Price. Obviously, no Trevion Henderson. So I do expect Stevenson to be good for 15-plus carries. It could be 20-plus if the game is close or if the Patriots manage to get a lead. The sliver of hope regarding the matchup was this. Seattle last year was a little bit more giving to man gap concept runs last season, particularly off tackle, with a 48.8% success rate compared to only 43.3 against zone runs. Ramondre averaged 4.94 yards per carry on those man gap runs compared to just 4.19 on the zone runs. We are also already in on Hunter Henry, over 34.5 receiving yards. I'm looking at his chart, and he does have some tough spots here against cover four, cover two, too high. But Henry also is looking good when they run the cover three. That's a nice boost. He's looking good in single high coverages. He's also looking good when they get pressure and they're on the blitz. And of course, Seattle's defense allowed the sixth most receiving yards per game at 63.5 and the fourth most receptions per game at 6.2. I mean, they did add Eli Raridan, the rookie, but he's just a rookie. So I think Henry will get a little bit more action. And as Ryan Heath mentioned, they're zone heavy, deploying zone at a 76% clip on the season last year. I think it was a little more in the Super Bowl. Henry averaged a very strong 1.90 yards per route run against zone in 25. AJ Brown should be heavily targeted, but Drake May absolutely trusts Hunter Henry. So the cover three stuff, maybe that could be like a screen that he takes a long way, or maybe a vertical route down the seam. And then last but not least, I am being very selective. I am, though, going to go with DeMario Prop Douglas, over 19.5 receiving yards, as mentioned before. Seattle gave up the 13th fewest receptions and the fewest yards per game to outside wide receivers at 76.4, but they also gave up the 12th most receptions to the slot, where Douglas will be lining up. He also is good against the blitz and against pressure, which they'll likely see with Seattle. So I like DeMario Douglas to go over 19.5 receiving yards. And then last, but certainly not least, we love the specials. We have a Wednesday night special. And by the way, we don't do a special unless it's at least plus 200. And your Wednesday night special for the 2026 opener is A.J. Brown, 20 or more first quarter receiving yards. As mentioned, I think we can get maybe two drives in the first quarter, or maybe one long drive. And I do believe an edict is handed down to get this man the ball in breaking routes and the like, you know, quick hitters, that'll help, maybe a downfield shot or two. But I do believe they're going to want AJ Brown to eat early, set the tone. So 20 yards or more receiving in the first quarter at plus 207 on DraftKings. That is your Wednesday night special. Don't go anywhere. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel up next. Kendall Valenzuela breaks down her top props for tonight's game. And then 4 p.m. Eastern, follow the money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard and decent primetime. Start to 7. Enjoy the game. Good luck with all the plays. We'll catch you manana.